Yeah, we're actually starting the show. Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, all of your sponsors. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. This is a Dark Mark show, and I'm joined by, as always, my lovely co-host, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Sick.
Hi guys, I got a new dress. More goth.
Oh yeah, very very busty, showing off the
Right? I like
yeah.
it a lot.
Was that the dress you were telling me about yesterday?
Yes, I shop at Target. Don't tell anyone. Anyway, but Target had this great dress for $15. And I'm like, that looks like it would fit my figure perfect. So I bought that the other day.
And did it fit your figure perfect?
Well, I mean, come on.
Well, Nicole, we could talk about your tits all show, but we've got a guest here, and he was
Don't mind
already he
me.
was.
Keep going.
No, no, he was already going as I was trying to start the show. He is a food blogger. He's got a YouTube channel. He does all sorts of things. Very interesting guy. He's coming live from his burger cave. Some guys have man caves. He has a burger cave. It's the Wolf Man.
What up? Should I howl? Would that make it official?
I was
Howl!
gonna howl myself. Howl! Wolf
Ow!
Man! Now it's official. We can start the show and I won't interrupt.
Yes. Is that the first time you've howled at the Wolfman, Nicole?
Actually, I think it might be. That was probably the first time I've howled. I've heard him howl before.
As have I.
Yeah.
But
I have a
it's great.
howling problem.
Welcome to the show, Wolfman.
I'm
We've
excited to be here.
all sorts of things to talk about. First, we're going to get to our sponsors really quick. You've got your IPA, drink up. You're an energetic guy. I got to keep up with you. So I have my favorite energy drink. Raise energy drink, RAZE. This is the best. I've tried them all. Like you with food, I've tried every one of these energy drinks. They used to have one called Raw Dog and have a horny goat weed in it. I tried that. Steven Seagal had an energy drink. I tried that. Red Bull, Rockstar, Monster. I've tried them all. This Raise energy drink is the best. This is Galaxy Burst. I'm going to have to use my coupon code for 50% off and get a new case soon, but this is delicious. This kind of tastes like Fruit Loops. It's very sweet, very.
It sounds like it would mix good with vodka or something.
Oh, this specs is great. I've done that. That, yes, I have done that. That,
You're
because
like,
what's great about the energy drinks and alcohol is that you're wide awake, so you can actually see the urine trickle down your leg and the vomit projectiling out of your mouth.
yeah,
Wonderful. But
yeah.
no,
We
this.
used to call it the poor man's Coke.
Exactly.
The vodka
Exactly.
and Red Bull, that was the old school poor man's Coke. Yeah.
Yeah, but don't use Red Bull. Use this because the great thing about Raise, zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash.
I'm
And
gonna
we're
try.
also sponsored by Audible.
Yay.
If you're into food, if you're into Wolfman, they got you covered. Let me tell you something. I was looking up some books. They have Anthony Bourdain's books. They have a book about the Food Network from scratch, Inside the Food Network, 15 hours and 46 minutes.
Damn.
You can get that free if you go to audibletrial.com/DMS. Audibletrial.com/DMS. You get any book you want. You get access to hundreds of Audible originals, and you get a 30-day trial at Audible. But not only that, it's not just they have food books, they have the best sellers. I put Wolfman in the search right away. Bend Me Over, Wolfman, a reluctant first anal fantasy erotica.
Anal
And the
fantasy, right?
man.
Never heard of those.
Yes. Violated by monsters, the Wolfman Frats.
Yes.
Wow.
They've got some Marvel stuff that was written by Marv Wolfman. A Nurse for the Wolfman by. Yeah, oh, and in the Monsters Made Me Gay erotica, Wolfman Gangbang. And interestingly, they have Curse of the Wolfman, which is a 3D horrify production. So I don't know how they do it in 3D, but that sounds good. You can get any of those or any book you want if you go to audibletrial.com/DMS. And you get access to all the Audible originals and a 30-day trial. You can't lose. And one more sponsor real quick. Wolfman, I don't know if you've done a show on this, but if you have not, you need to go to Doomie's Home Cooking. Are you aware of Doomie's Home Cooking?
I do. I love Dumas.
Oh, okay. Did you do a show on them?
Absolutely. I went there a while back, and then I actually did a little interview courtesy of Nicole. So Phil is actually an amazing dude and DJ. And yes, they're Big Mac and Animal Fries. I give Doomies, love Doomies, absolutely love them.
As you can see, Nicole, I did not cross-reference Wolfman and Doomies Home Cooking in my search. So you, but yeah, Phil's been on the show. Phil's great. He's a genius, culinary genius. And you eat meat. You're in a burger cave. They have everything. The Big Mac and the secret menu, as you said, the fun fries.
No.
Last time I was there, I had a vegan shrimp po' boy.
Yeah, they're amazing. And they had good beer. They got Arrogant Bastard there, which I really like. So they're like just awesome in my book. And also, Phil makes his own cheese. That's actually his own recipe. And I've been telling him he needs to sell that. And that's the crossover. Put his cheese on a burger. Now you're talking, man.
Tell you what's in it, or he didn't? He kept the secret for it from you.
He didn't really go into it. I'm like, he explained.
I'm sure he kept the secret. Like, if I was Phil, I'd keep the secret.
Yeah, even if he told me, I don't think I would feel comfortable repeating it. You know,
the ranch dressing is a closely guarded secret. The cheese, because yeah. Nicole had the nachos last time, and the cheese was. It was like dairy cheese.
The cheese tastes just like nacho cheese. Like, I don't know how he does it, but it tastes just like nacho cheese.
Yeah.
No, and I'm a big fan too, because he was doing this before it was trendy, and he was doing it before the plant-based, before Impossible Burger. That dude was doing it and doing it better before any of those people. And that's still, why I give him credit, man. He's the man, dude. He's the man.
And it's still better. The nachos, LA Weekly says, one of the 10 best nachos in LA, the only one without meat. They have the Doomies Next Max or just regular Doomies. You can't lose. 1253 Vine Street if you're in Los Angeles. If you're in Toronto, Canada, they have a store, and they have one in Culver City as well. Doomies Home Cooking, D-O-O-M-I-E-S. And, you know, you're from the goth scene, so you must love the decor like I do. Very...
Yeah. That's, I didn't realize he was a goth DJ. His whole story was, when I interviewed him, was phenomenal. Like, he's not vegan. He was doing this because he was cooking food and a lot of his friends weren't eating it. And they're like, what do you eat? And not only did he make it, but he perfected it. You know what I mean? That's the best, dude. Like, you know, I didn't even know he was a sponsor. So I sound like I'm
kissing. No, it's great. It's great.
Sponsor, but dude, he's one of my faves. Like, I really do like it.
No, it's great. The whole, yeah, when he was on the air, he told us how he was always dating vegetarian and vegan women going to shitty restaurants. And then he started one of his own.
Yeah. And it's still to this day, one of the best. So.
Right.
I agree.
So Wolfman's in his burger cave. Now,
vegan burger cave, since you're talking Doomies.
Well, I got to start with your beard, because that's where I think we have to start. How long did that take to grow, and what was it like in between? Because as you can see, my beard is a shambles. I don't have the care that you do. I don't have my way with a trimmer like you do. That's not like a hair extension, is it?
Oh, no, it's fake, dude. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. It's totally real. It's always been real. I might put a little like different things in there. But so the story is, I started it from scratch in 1998.
Okay.
So you can imagine, so it's like that. So
it's older than Nicole.
Yes, no. So like, it actually started at a restaurant where I had it just like to here, right? It was just a goatee. And I won't name names because we're actually good friends now, but this lady owned it. She was a little pretentious at times, you know, and just liked things a certain way. And she saw me and basically told me that if I didn't shave the goatee, I was going to be fired.
Mm-hmm. That's fucked up.
Yeah. And I literally told my girl that morning that it was annoying and I'm going to shave it. So obviously, out of principle, I'm like, it's staying. Like, now you're going to have to fire me. We're going to make a big deal about this. So I literally started the goatee because out of spite for that person. And then I started braiding it, blah, blah, blah. I dyed it. It lost. It used to be all the way down to my goodies, you know. So now I kind of keep it by the belly button because it you know, there's stories. You go to the bathroom, you either get my dick or the goatee caught in the zipper. It was very annoying at times, you know, like, so I was like, I got to keep it this way. But I did do the COVID thing where I usually keep it really nice and trim, but I've actually got the full beard going. So the whole beard is about down to here right now. So I'm trying to grow the whole thing out now.
Okay.
Wow.
So, and also, if I ever want to get laid, man, I just go like, you will go home with me. You will.
He is he's hypnotizing us with his beard for the people on audio.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's in the back of the room.
Yeah, so you have to watch the podcast on video if you wanted to see that amazingness. But yes, be careful, because you might be attracted to me after watching it. Full disclaimer, you know.
Well, first off, I have this this uncontrollable urge to blow you suddenly. I don't know what happened, but
yes, you do. No, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
and then feed you a cheeseburger afterwards. No, but well, seriously, do women respond to the long beard? Because, you know, you always everybody says their own different thing, but I know there was a big beard thing for a while, and now there's a little beard backlash I'm getting.
There is, and during COVID, you know, you got the, oh, is it clean or whatever. So, you know, I feel like COVID kind of did some beard, you know, the beard struggle was, you know, real for a second. So I feel like it's hit or miss, man. Like, the girls that love it, love it. And they'll come up to me and flirt with me and touch it and play with it. And my favorite was when I used to do a jam night, I dressed as like a reverend and stuff. And all our pictures would be the goatee in like all the cleavage shots.
Right.
So like it became a thing where all the girls were like, oh, I want to put my goatee. And they would do all this stuff. And it would be like, and that was the pictures were all like that. So in that aspect, it was pretty cool. Instead of signing titties, I always say my goatee got more action than I ever did.
You don't call it a flavor saver for nothing.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. When you're at a strip club. Oh, man, this thing's.
Yeah, I don't even want to know. Oh, no.
Yeah. The old smell my finger. It was like, oh, smell my goatee.
Yeah. Yes. Smell the beads. Nicole, this is what you wanted. You knew this was going to happen.
Oh, I had no idea we were going to talk about the beard. Like, I got a few questions.
Two mental patients talking. Now, how did you meet the Wolfman?
That's a good question. I think I met him at the Rainbow. Like, okay. I don't want to talk too much about the Rainbow as a former place of employment. I keep my secrets to myself. Right. But I think I met Wolfman at the Rainbow.
Okay.
Yeah, we met there, and then you did, someone had a private party upstairs.
And okay, was it the Kesha party or?
It was a birthday party. I don't know.
Another thing I'm not going to discuss, but I used to do social media and book the bands for the Rainbow.
Okay.
So we had quite a few private parties. So I'm not really sure which one.
So it was a dude named Mike, and it was his birthday party, and this was probably like 4 years ago. And then I came early and helped set up the party. And you were really nice, and that's how we actually met.
Oh, thanks. That means you got me when I wasn't stressed, because some people think I'm a bitch.
No, you were. I mean, I could see why people think that, because you're focused.
Focus is the right word. Exactly.
Like, you were focused.
What I'm doing.
Yeah, but I'm in the entertainment and the, you know, restaurant business, so I realize when you see people like that, you don't mess with them. And people like to do that when they know you're like, got to get to A to Z. They're all like, oh, can I get more ranch, or can I get this, or hey.
I don't want to talk badly about the Rainbow, but I will say this. People who go to the Rainbow are unusually entitled, typically. So they would think they needed more attention than they needed, and I'd be busy. I didn't mean to be rude, but I would be focused. Focus is the right word.
I got the feeling Wolfman needs a lot of attention. Now, Wolfman, what came first, the food industry or the entertainment industry with you? I'm trying to get
I guess it was entertainment, because I did a radio show.
Right.
I got kicked off the radio show. This is like 97. This is actually before Wolfman. I became Wolfman in 98. 97, I did the radio. And then I worked in the kitchen. So it was like right in that same time. It was like the whole, I didn't know what I was going to do with my life.
Right.
Radio got fired.
Was Wolfman Jack an inspiration or just a coincidence?
No, it was actually this restaurant that I ended up working at, and it was a redneck bar by my house. Mm-hmm. And I was all gothed out, right? I had the nail polish, the eyeliner. I was going to see Clank, who played with Circle of Dust. And this was in 97, and we were touring with him just to go see his Florida dates. So we're going to the Tampa show, and I had to drop something out for my buddy who was bartending. And I did it, and I dropped something off. And a buddy of mine was like, this bouncer, he's this big Hawaiian dude, real muscular and all this. And he was trying to describe me to my buddy. And was like, yeah, your buddy came, and this is what he said. And he couldn't figure out who I was. And finally, the guy's like, I don't know. He's that weird dude that's goth. I don't know. He looks like the freaking Wolfman. You know what I mean? Like, and I had the eyeliner and everything. And then, like, I came in, and I saw him. And my buddy is like, that's the dude. That's the Wolfman guy.
Right.
Like, that's my buddy looks at me, and he's like, dude, you do look like the Wolf Man. He's like, pudgy cheeks and the hairy, you know. So, yeah. So I was like, and then it stuck. And I started working in the kitchen, and I started as a dishwasher, and then ended up being like a manager, bouncer, and all that. So it just stuck. And then I ended up using the Wolfman as just my character, and everyone knew me around town as the Wolfman.
So you were in Tampa. I've heard great things about the Tampa Goth scene.
So I was in Gainesville, but yes, the Tampa Goth scene is where we go a lot. We would go to the Castle.
Okay.
I don't know, have you ever been to the Castle in Ybor City?
I've never been to the Castle. I've heard yeah. Like one of the best goth scenes is Tampa.
It is, even when it was dead, it was good. Jacksonville's right. Not bad. Movement Magazine, they do a lot of things. I think his name's Max Michaels. He's awesome out there. He does a lot of stuff. I tried to do stuff here and there in Gainesville, but Gainesville was hit or miss. Like when it was good, Gainesville was the best. So the thing I got to say about the Castle, they have a bar, right? The first bar when you go in, and it was the best bar ever. And it was like little marble, and it had a creek that actually flowed around.
Oh, wow.
And then like you'd get drunk and just put your hand in there, and had little pebbles you could play with. It probably the most unsanitary thing looking back, right? But dude, it was so fun. It was like having little Miyagi trees there to play with, you know?
Right, like very coy goth.
Yeah, and I've never seen that before. So the Castle's, it was my favorite place to go. Ybor City in a whole is phenomenal.
And are you from New York? Or you yeah. ended up in Florida?
Yeah.
I thought so, you were from Brooklyn, like myself.
So my family's from Brooklyn, but I grew up on Long Island. So I grew up in Levittown, Wontaw.
Where in Long Island?
I have a tough question. Wontaw.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I have a tough question then.
Okay.
What is better, our burgers or the burgers on the East Coast? And don't worry, I won't be offended.
Well, see, you said burgers, you didn't say pizza. So I'm gonna be honest with you, I haven't been back to New York in over a decade. So for me to compare it, it's really hard. But it's hard to say. But I would actually say I like LA. All my New Yorker friends, I'm gonna get a bunch of emails from the kids I went to high school. But I've said this before, I like the LA style a little bit better. And the reason is because it's a lot of fusion, and the burgers I get out here, they'll use like prime rib. They'll do like, you know, they'll use some really good quality ingredients.
Grass-fed beef.
Yeah. And the other thing out here is in New York, it's almost like business, you know, you're like, you know, you don't serve, I want to say this carefully, you don't serve anything that's not quality, but you're definitely cost-effective on what you're serving and your portion and everything. Out here, they pretty much hold a standard where, man, if they say it's grass fed, I believe them. Where in New York, man, I'm a New Yorker. And I'm like, yeah, sure it is.
Hey, hey, sure. Got some grass along the way.
Like, I guess I have no trust when it comes to New York. And I guess that's just because I grew up there. So I'm just like, yeah, sure, it's organic. Let me see the receipt. You know what I mean? But here, I feel like two Yelp reviews and the restaurant would be under, you know?
Now, pizza on the other hand.
I mean, it's funny because even when I come pizza out here, it's like I love the East Coast style. So even when I say, what's your favorite pizza? It's all East Coast style pizzerias, you know. Right.
And what is like, East Coast, what is East Coast style to you?
Thin crust, not a lot of dough, you know, hand tossed, real thin.
So you know, pizza recommendation. I don't know if you've tried this. Either of you guys, let me know. But I recently had the gluten-free pizza at Elbow Room. I had sausage and meatball. And that shit was fucking fire. Like, it's thin crust because it's gluten-free and it's really tasty. And I recommend that. Like, that was the last pizza I had and it was so good. And the cheese they put on it, so good.
I love the Elbow Room. We actually did a recon with my producer today for the show we're working on. And the Elbow Room is, I have it written for the third episode. And so we actually went there. They weren't open, but we went there and I just showed them the place. And I love Cahuenga, that whole strip. Mm-hmm.
The Cahuenga Triangle. Yeah.
Yes, I absolutely love it. So the Elbow Room, I love their pizza. My little trick here, they have a shrimp scampi pizza they used to offer, and it's like $38-$40, but it's literally shrimp scampi that they make up and saute, and then they put it on the pizza, and it's a special recipe. And man, they'll still make it for you if you ask. But it is the best pizza I've probably had out here. And it's sad. I guess they told me they took it off the menu because, you know, the price and people weren't ordering it. But every time I go there, I'm always like, I go to people, I'm like, will you eat a $40 pizza with me? Because I'll buy it. It's that good.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the next time I go, I'll be like, let's all share this pizza. I want to try a shrimp scampi pizza.
Yeah, and I'm thinking Wolfman's buying the pizza.
I'll buy it for us. How's that?
Okay.
No, I won't.
Right. I've suddenly got an urge to blow you and give you money for pizza. But anyway, so
I'm getting blowjobs and pizza all day.
What else does a man need?
That's it, man.
But so I can see you on the radio though. I mean, you got that. I envy your voice. I wish I had one of them voices like that, one of them voices like you do, and I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I can affect it, but I can't do it full time. That's your real voice.
Yeah. It's the Wolfman Jack in me.
Well, I mean, it does have a Wolfman sort of tinge to it. I've got that's your real voice. That's some whiskey drinking in the past, I'm assuming, and
maybe a little weed here and there. I don't know.
Little weed, little this, little that.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the weed, so this leads into how you got into, you know, your food reviews.
Yeah. Well, because I had the munchies. That's stereotyping, Mark.
Is that the case or is it something else? No,
I mean, to be honest with you, I got into the food with that place that gave me my nickname. We were making all these items, you know, off duty, you know, or, you know, whatever, off menu, off.
Right.
Like, you know, you'd be off work and you'd be like, hey, let me come in and you want to get free food. And the cook's like, you can eat, but I ain't cooking it for you, you know, because it's your boy, you know, it's like, you want free food, you're cooking that shit yourself, you know? So you'd literally go in when they're busy and make this crazy meal for yourself. And I would make these crazy meals and eat it at the bar. And then people would come up to me and be like, what's that? And then at one point I made something called the Wolfman Beast Burger. And it was basically, I would go buy Eggos and I'd make a double cheeseburger with maple bacon and put it on Eggos.
Wow, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's so good. We ended up selling them at a place called Backstage Lounge. Every Sunday we did a jam night. And then he let me in the kitchen and he made me come up with my own menu items, which was very dangerous because he had a 10-inch hot dog and I called it the Reverend's 10-inch.
Mm-hmm.
I was dressed as a reverend, so like people would order it and the whole gimmick was, would you like the reverend's 10 inch in your mouth tonight? And like it became a thing. Like I know it was a little perverted and weird, but it became a thing, you know. People liked it and they would be like, hey, I want the reverend's 10 inch. Yeah.
I'm waiting for Nicole to comment on this, but it's not happening.
I have nothing to say.
You don't have a comment on Wolfman's 10 inch?
God.
No, but that's how the Cobb
salad. Really, only 8-inch. I called it 10. Okay.
That's how the Cobb salad was invented. Like they had just a bunch of stuff left over and threw it in the salad, and there you go.
Exactly.
So that's you were a cook. So you were a cook, and you came up with all these crazy things.
Yeah, and it was really just kind of being high. So I did a music show called UDTV, and it was called Underground Downtown. So we would like interview bands and all that. Within that show, we took that philosophy and we did something called Munchie Madness. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people doing Munchie Madness, but even back in the day, I had it copyrighted and all that. But like, you know, you can even look it up. We were doing it in like 2000 or whatever. But those were my first ones. And the funny thing about it was my grandmother just passed away at the time. And so I got all her wardrobe and I'm cleaning out her stuff. And she really inspired me for a lot of cooking. She was like old school German cook. And she did like all the schnitzel and the goulash and all that. So I was like, you know, I want to do the stoner cooking show, you know, within this TV show. So I ended up doing it and I would wear one of her dresses every time I did it. So it wasn't like super cross-dressing, but it was like some of them you couldn't even tell.
It was Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah. But some of it's so old lady, it almost looked like Lance Armstrong. You know what I mean? And like bikers, because some of it was spandexy. It was weird. So some of it, people didn't even know it was like women's clothes. But then I would wear the dress or whatever. And people, you know, it was a Florida, so it was a little controversial because people were like, why are you dressing in drag, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I'd be like, no. And I'd tell the story like, no, this is me paying homage to my grandma. This is my grandma's clothes. I learned my cooking from her. So even my parents saw it one day and they're like, yeah, I don't think your grandma would appreciate your pant trip. You're like, so I don't think everyone liked it, but that's what started it. And then when the pandemic hit, I'm like, man, I'm doing Wolfman's Food Hunt, and I'm not wearing any dresses, unfortunately. But I did decide where I was like, I'm gonna bring it back.
Damn it.
Yeah, but maybe, who knows?
I was gonna say.
All right.
Who knows? But
you know what this is? I gotta cut in on this. This is what happened when the wolf dressed up as grandma in Little Red Riding Hood.
That's it. That's exactly what it was.
So somebody's gotta play Little Red Riding Hood. Somebody's gotta play Little Red Riding Hood. We gotta have a picnic basket.
Yes.
And a wolf was dressed up and yes. They're gonna call. Way to work a literary reference into the show.
That's what she gets paid the big bucks for.
Now, I'm watching your YouTube videos. Obviously, I missed the one on Doobie's Home Cooking, but it seems to me that if things get on your beard, they get rated higher. Is that the case? These are going to get all over my beard, and then it did.
I want to go back and do some research on this. I don't know. Are you right? And I don't realize it. Subconsciously, maybe? Consciously? I don't think so.
Well, everything ends up on your beard, basically.
That's the point. It's like I almost try. And it's funny because like my kid will film some of them and I feel like I have a whole bunch on it and I make a comment and then I watch it and I really didn't have any. It just felt like I did. And then there's other times where I'm like, oh, I'm not wearing it. And like I can see my son going, what are you talking about? And I look at the replay and it's like all over my face.
Right.
So I honestly don't even know when I'm wearing it, when I'm not. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's a happy ending for me too, I guess. I don't know.
So I've taken both of you, and like taken, I mean, I've met both of you at Figaro's Bistro, and I had Wolfman try their mini burger because it's actually like the size of McDonald's regular burger, and that got on the beard. So I think just high quality stuff with good sauce gets on the beard.
It does. And you know what? I think that should be a gauge because you know how a lot of people put too much sauce on the beards. So I feel like if the sauce hits the beads, no good. But if there's going to be a sauce level, this could be like a level, you know what I mean? Like there's like a level here. So if it hits here, it's no good. If it's here, it's good. If it hit right up in here, you know, it's a money sandwich. Sauce, perfect flavor. So I think subconsciously you might be right.
Well, Nicole's eaten with me on more than one occasion and she's seen how I'm very conscious of the beard and I'm wiping myself in between every bite. I just don't want to. Especially when you're on a date, it's just like, ooh, you gotta wipe that stuff out the whole time.
No, I find myself drinking through a straw. Oh, I'm sorry. What were you gonna say?
Oh no, I just said you gotta be aware of the beard. It's an extension of yourself. You know, it gets messy. Yeah.
When you drink, it's the worst. Cause like even drinking here, if you notice this whole podcast, I'm always having to do this. It's cause like, it's like Niagara Falls, you know, you drink here and you don't realize it, but it gets all caught up in the beard. And I got to do it, but it like the mustache is getting crazy because I could actually do that little hipster shit.
That wouldn't quite be Wolfman though.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's actually annoying. I don't know. Like, what do you think? Should I actually trim it? Because I'm thinking maybe I go back to the trim days. I don't know. I can't tell.
Nicole, you tell me. I can't trim worth a shit. So
I like it the way it is. I think it suits you as a person. Like, I think it's a part of your aesthetic at this point.
Can you handlebar too, or no?
Don't let society tell you how to look. If you want to shave it a little bit down, shave it a little bit down.
Should he handlebar it too or no?
Yeah, how douchey is douchey? Like, yeah, how douchey is douchey? Like, would that be douchey? Is this too douchey? Like, yeah, I can't tell.
I
need a Nicole makeover. I'll have little handlebars and a grandma's sundress before I know it.
Honestly, for you, I think I like the beard the way it is. Like, I think it's just, it fits you. You know, if it's your...
It's very wolfy.
I'm keeping it then.
Now, speaking of hipster, where is the best avocado toast in town?
Can I be honest with you? I don't think I've ever had avocado toast in my life.
Really? Okay, yeah. That's the one thing I've noticed on your show is that... This is my question to you based on that. And we're going to go into some of your favorite restaurants or favorite experiences, but how do you keep that slim waistline? Because it seems like you eat like I do, except I look like this and you look like that.
All right. I'll give you two big things because I get this question a lot. I get two big things. One, I walk a lot. Mm-hmm. And I did put on a couple extra pounds during COVID because at one point I was like 160, 170, and that was what I was trying to keep that. But
Jesus,
then
170, what's the matter with you?
Now I'm at like 180. And okay. And if I go like 180, 185, I look okay. But right. Once I hit 190 and 200, because I got chubby cheeks, you know, I can't hide it as well as other people mm-hmm. can hide it, you know. So walking, I'll walk. There's times I walk a minimum of 2 miles a day because I got to drop my kid off. I got a bunch of stuff I got to do, and I don't own a car out here. So I walk. So I'll walk up to 10 miles a day at one point. And,
well, anyone would be fun if they walk 10 miles a day. Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
And the other thing is, and I'm going to say this, an exclusive Dark Mark moment on your show.
Yes.
I don't eat all the food. I don't eat. Yeah, I don't eat all of it.
All right.
I share it with my family. I share it with people. I even give half of it to homeless people. Like when I was in Seattle, I tried 69 burgers in 10 days. And everybody's like, how did you do that? I'm like, dude, this is like, if the burger was really good, I ate half of it. But other than that, man, I had a film guy, an audio guy, I had a producer. Everyone wanted a bite of that fucking burger. So it would have to be rude if I ate the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, they're all like, "How's that taste, bro?" Wink, wink.
So what we got here, Mark, is a case of teamwork. What we need to do, you and I, is we need to have the whole team with us when we eat so they all share part of the portions.
Yes.
And then we'll walk 10 miles home.
And then we'll walk 10 miles home. I'm down if you are.
See, I'm like the opposite of you, Wolfman, in that I carry my weight pretty good in my face, but my body's just enormous. So I got the opposite thing happening. When you say, Nicole, it's the face yeah. should be fatter.
I don't know. I'm a face.
I can see what you're saying.
We got to switch faces and switch bodies. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, so.
You know, that sounds like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly. I think that's a lot of potential for something to go really wrong.
Yeah.
It's true. You know, and the other thing is like beer too, man. If I'm start drinking IPAs and stuff, I'll put on some pounds. So I try not to drink as much, you know, especially the beers, you know, because at one point I was really doing something that was pairing the burgers and the beers. And that's when I started seeing myself gain weight because now you're eating the burgers and the beers, you know.
Well, that's I'm 30. Wink now. And so what I've decided, I only like today my friend Andrew just came back into town, so I had a couple of drinks with him, but I decided I'm only drinking on weekends, not because like I'm like some hoity-toity girl. It's just alcohol on top of your meal is so many extra calories.
It's true.
And you know, are a hoity-toity girl, but that has nothing to do with anything. But I haven't had a beer in like 10 years, but I never liked it. It's like drinking bread. I don't like the taste, but that's just me. But beers and burgers go together. That's
they do.
It's hard not to have one without the other.
Yeah. And I do. I feel like it goes. Some people say that with cigarettes, you know, when I smoked, I guess I can feel that vibe. But like, even when I stop drinking, I'll have a burger and you just start thinking of like what beer would pair well with it, because you get like blue cheese,
right.
Stout pairs well. And you know, like that's where I start getting in my head. Cause I'm like, I don't want to get drunk, but I definitely would like a beer to pair with this meal. You know what I mean?
Very gourmet. You know, it's like what wine goes with this meal, but in the Wolfman, in your world, you're eating burgers and pizza and food trucks and comfort food. So
it is a lot of comfort food. I've been trying to get out. The beauty is people have been introducing me to stuff. This dude, Chuck, brought me, you know, he's from Japan and was like, hey, I want you to get Peking duck. And he brought us to Arcadia. I did a quick little video. The place in Arcadia actually saw the video, hit him up, I guess, when he was there and was like, hey, we love the video. You need to come back and we can show you how we actually do it the good way. So that's the kind of stuff. And that was like the first time I had duck since I lived in New York. You know what I mean? So like, it was a great experience, and it's obviously I'd eat it and I would love it, but I just didn't know where to go get good duck. You know what I mean? And like, so other, that's going to be the premise of some of the shows I'm doing in the future, is actually people bringing me to different places, which is how I meant to
say, I hope he gave you a ride, because Arcadia's
he did
Hollywood, so it's a while, it's a ways away.
It was,
gentlemen, if you are looking for good Peking duck in California, you can either go to the Sunset Grill, where it comes over a bed of interesting potatoes. They have an interesting, unique seasoning. That'll be done Hungarian style. Or you can go to Crispy Pork Gang, where when you walk in, there are tons of rotisserie-style ducks just hanging from the inside. So you just see the ducks right there. And it's a relatively good price. Each one is about $15. So
yeah. Yeah, I've had the Sunset Grill one. It's actually really good. I like their Gourmand Blue.
Potatoes are fucking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually one of my go-to places for burgers. I mean, you know that. We talk about that all the time.
Yeah, we go to Sunset Grill.
Yeah. We've hung out there before, but like it's a cool little spot, and they got the burgers are always good. And I've done a couple food hunts there, actually. If you were to ask me the spot I hit the most, it would be Sunset Grill.
Yeah, I saw one of those. And last time Nicole and I were at the Sunset Grill, I was the oldest guy there because I was the only one that knew that Don Henley sang the song. And I was trying to explain it to people, and they didn't understand.
Like, okay,
who's Don Henley? I'm like, okay, I'm the oldest one here.
You know what's funny about that story is the owner used to play that like all the time.
And I'm sure.
And I guess she was a sweetheart, but one of the bartenders, you know, she's definitely millennial and stuff. And I remember coming in there one time and going, man, you guys used to play the song all the time. And like, as much as I'm not a big fan of the song, it made sense and it fit. And she's like, yeah, I talked them out of it because, you know, like, it's just, you know, our generation and all the hot girls that come in don't really, no one knows who that is. No one cares. You're better off playing.
I'm a hot girl. I like Don Henley.
Yeah. So like,
I honestly, meta. Yeah. Also met him to be sitting at the Sunset Grill and then let's go down to the Sunset. Come on, that's too much.
I don't know, man. I'm a promoter.
Listen to it on the way home, but you don't listen to it at the restaurant.
Oh yeah, it's like wearing the band shirt to the concert.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a movie that was called Sunset Grill. I haven't seen that yet. But
oh really? I didn't know that.
The guy who played RoboCop starred in it. I don't know. I Googled
the 70s Joe or
Peter Weller.
You're talking about the Murphy
Yeah, Peter Weller Murphy, the RoboCop guy.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, I have a question for the Wolfman.
Oh, geez, go right ahead, Nicole.
Wolfman, you've been on a couple of reality TV shows. Would you like to tell us about those?
What?
Is that really a question?
Yeah.
Or is that just a statement?
I don't know. You want to tell us
what reality shows have you been on, Wolfman?
Yeah, I haven't really been on a reality show, have I?
On Pawn Stars?
Oh, okay. So no, that yes, I did a.
Am I allowed to talk about it? I'm sorry.
Oh, you're allowed to talk about it. So I did a pilot for a show called Pawn Star. It was called One Stop Pawn Shop. And it was one of those pilots that was 10 years too late. And I literally got the phone call. So it was not a reality show. It was a pilot for something that never got picked up.
Oh, okay. I just remember being at Sunset Grill. That's why I thought about this.
Yeah. No. It was like, I played a pawn shop owner, and it was it was their version of that show that never got picked up. So
it wasn't the Pawn Stars Vegas.
What's that?
It wasn't the Pawn Stars in Vegas.
No. It was a shitty pilot that you can actually see on my YouTube channel if you want to watch it.
Oh, I can't wait.
But it was fun. And there was so the good news about that, though, is that the one of the dudes that helped me or that produced it is actually the dude producing my new Wolfman's Food Hunt show.
Right.
So, and then the guy that was representing two of the actors or something, I'm not sure what he was doing there, but he's actually my new PR guy.
Right.
And that happened like 3 years ago, and I'm actually working with a bunch of those people. So a lot of good shit happened, but it was one.
Yeah, I knew that. I'm sorry I brought it up. I just
No, it's all good. Yeah. Like no, but it wasn't
like it was a positive experience, even though it didn't go to air.
Yeah. And it wasn't the pawn shop one, but yeah. But no, it was amazing actually. But you guys got to watch it. It wasn't that good, but it was fun, you know.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. I thought it was already picked up. I think whoever didn't pick that up is stupid.
You know what? It was just one of those things that it's been done already. And in defense of the guy who created it, he wrote a really good script. A couple guys did. And at the last second, we improvised it all. So, so it wasn't even the vision of the person. You know what I mean? So I got to give them props for, you know, give them credit for that, because they're the ones that'll bitch about it before I would. You know, I actually thought it was cool stuff, but, you know, at that point, I guess.
Oh, I loved watching it. I thought it was great. Like, I thought it was ready to go to air.
It's one of those
things. I'm glad that it worked out so positively for you that you got this whole team out of it, because you really fucking deserve that. I think.
Appreciate
when you watch Wolfman's shows, which later at the end of the show, Wolfman will tell you his social media and you can go check it out. It literally feels like you're watching a real show already. Like, it's directed well. It's got a good voiceover. It's just really good. Like, it's very professional quality.
Ah, thank you. No, and honestly, I try to go out of my way to make it, anything I do, have that little cool vibe. Because I work with, like, cable shows. And, you know, the very first thing I did, radio, the guy that did the Wolfman voiceover that you refer to was a guy that I actually met in 97 doing radio. And we're still friends. And he'll do any voiceover I need because he's such a good guy. And
he's so talented. So talented.
He's amazing. And if you watch TV and you watch Spectrum News, he's on like 10 commercials that air right now. You know what I mean? Like, and I could hear his voice and I always laugh and I always call him and I'm like, I'm listening to you right now. You know, so I'm blessed to you know, be in contact with those people. And that's the one thing I love about Hollywood, man. Like, you might have a lot of shady people out here, but you also meet a lot of really legit people and you got to vet them out. But man, like, if you meet people, you can meet friends for life out here. Like Nicole, I feel like you're going to be a friend for life. You know what I mean? Like, I met you the first time I was here. We're still friends, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if you're friends with me over 5 years, we're good. I passed the 5-year hump.
It could be a rocky 5 years. You never know. But
good man.
Pop well, stars.
Mark, how long have we been friends? When was that?
I guess 9 years, because we had our nine-year Facebook.
So it was even longer than I thought. Yeah, nine years.
And you were 12 at the time. Now, I got to say, speaking of Pop stars, I got to just a quick shout out to Rick's Rollin' Barbecue, which is owned by Rick from Pop stars. I performed there last week. We had a great time in Vegas. So thank you, Steve McAnally, for that. And everybody that booked me in Vegas, Tom Baum, Gooch, Jack Slammy, I had a great time. So what brought you to L.A.? Was it acting or was it what happened?
I don't know, man. Like, I tell people it was kind of like a midlife crisis in a way, because I was just like, everything was over. I was working a gig at a managing a bar, Backstage Lounge, and I was doing all the booking, doing everything. They were basically about to close down, you know, so they were going to be gone after 7 years. The music scene was really like kind of going downhill, and it was really hard to find bands and to make money doing it. And I really didn't know what to do. And my whole life, everyone in New York, they always said, I don't belong in New York. I'm too redneck. I'm too California. I go to Florida. Everyone's like, you're too New York, or, you know, you need to go to L.A. Everyone's like, you're an L.A. guy. So, like, I always wanted to go, and I tried moving here a couple times. It never panned out. And then everything just kind of just was in the air. And I was like, I don't want to fix my house up. I just want to sell it. I was just like, I want to sell everything. And I want to go to L.A. And I literally sold everything, and I did take 4 to 5 months. You know, I didn't do this in like a week or whatever.
Right.
You know, I sold everything. I had to liquidate everything, you know, cars, you know, everything. The house, I had to sell it at garage sales. And I said, you know what? I literally grabbed the dog, the kid, and the wife and said, you know what? We're going. And we went in 24 hours. We got here. We each had a 12-hour shift. Went into Boys Town, rented a cottage out there for 2 weeks for $3,000.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had nowhere to live, nowhere to go. And then we found a place, and you know, now I'm in West Hollywood, and we've been here for 6.5 years. And the whole basis was just, I just want to go do something that might appreciate my talents. I didn't want to be an actor. I didn't want to do food at the time. I just wanted to be somewhere that would appreciate creative art.
Now, what did your wife and your son think about this decision?
You know, they were actually extremely supportive. And, you know, my son loves it. He's
right.
just gave him drum lessons. He's got an awesome drummer. He's been in commercials. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
You're pimping him out too.
Yeah, why not, right? Got to get that poking money. But I also, just to be like serious for a second, let him choose anything and everything he does. And if he comes to me and says, I don't want to do it, like I taught him guitar, he didn't want to do it, didn't press it. 3 years later, he's playing the drums now. So that's the one thing where Hollywood, I see people force their kids to do stuff. I won't do that.
Right.
That's good. Yeah. That's very good.
Is he allowed in the Burger Cave or?
No.
This is your story right now.
Like I want to, like, yeah, he does all his TikToks here. So if he has his own TikTok channel, so he'll do his TikToks and whatnot, you know. And but like, I don't know, man, because like, you know, kids, they don't wash their hands, and I'll go look and I'm back. I can see little fingerprints and all my little things. I'm a collector too. So I'm like, don't mess with my collection.
Now, what is the most valuable thing in your burger cave?
That's a good one. I see if I can see it right here. It's a pin I got, and it's from Florida, and I looked it up and it was from like the 40s. And it's probably not worth that much, but I think it was worth a couple $1,000, and someone just literally sent it to me. I'll be honest with you, I don't collect things for value. I collect it just because I like it.
Sure.
The people that send me stuff, it's actually worth more money than the stuff I buy, because I'm buying like consumer grade stuff and they're at a flea market and they're like, oh, I saw this burger pan, I thought of you and I sent it. And I'm like, you know, that thing's worth $600, right? Like, I just looked it up. I'm like, you know, you just sent me a $600 pin. Oh, it's okay. I only spent $4 on it, you know, or I got it for 50 cents. You could have it. And I'm always like, well, if I sell it, which I won't, because I'm not going to sell it, you know, I'm like, but if I sell it, I'll hook you up. You know what I mean? Like, I'd give him the money, but it's funny because the collectibles come as gifts and I feel bad, but I'm not going to sell it. I love it, dude, you know?
Right. So how did you actually get to this food blogging? How did this happen?
I mean, like I said, I did the Munchie Madness. So a lot of it was that, and I always liked the food, but the main Burger Cave really came from the pandemic, because I didn't know how to help local businesses, because I couldn't go there. I couldn't show their outside. I couldn't go and interact with them. Everyone's scared with, you know, getting the cooties or whatnot, you know? Yeah. So it was like, you had to be real careful. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to grab takeout and do it at the Burger Cave. And I'm still going to review these people. Right. And I actually came up with the Burger Cave a year before the pandemic, but I never thought it would work, because I was always like, no one's going to give a shit about me in a Burger Cave if I could be out in the actual real world. You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? And then when the pandemic hit, I was like, my Burger Cave might work.
Yeah.
And I was like, sorry, people are dying, but I'm going to get my Burger Cave working, you know? So yeah.
The universe provides.
Yeah. But so that's actually how the Burger Cave came, was because I was like, oh, well, now people won't judge me for not being outside because I'm trying to be safe. Right. But yeah, I'm still trying to promote local business.
And yeah, it was definitely needed, because it's sad how many local businesses and how many restaurants did not make it.
Well, no, like you mentioned Doomies, and now that I know they're a sponsor, man, it's like, imagine if they didn't make it. Imagine, well, just imagine. I know.
It
would hurt. Yeah, it would hurt, bro, but it would hurt the community so much more than people would know.
Right.
Yeah, and that's my point, is like, certain establishments can't go. And what would happen? They would be replaced by corporate plant-based stuff, and they would just be replaced.
Right.
And it wouldn't be replaced by a mom and pop or some dude that actually gave a crap.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's what this show is about, is like, I don't ask for free food. I pay. People hook me up sometimes. You know, usually it's the second or third time after, like, oh, I like your video, come try this. You know what I mean? And I'm like, cool, I'll take a free meal, but I never will ask for one, because that defeats the whole purpose of supporting the community.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and I've had producers that I won't work with because they just were like, oh, we can get this and we can get, I was like, no, it's not about that.
Right.
Like, if I'm not giving as much as I'm taking, I'm not going to be cool with that. Because at the end of the day, this isn't nonprofit per se, but this is actually supposed to help businesses. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So what was, What is one restaurant that didn't survive the pandemic that you miss? Let's talk food.
So many, dude. So I'm going to say one that actually ended right before the pandemic, and that's Irv's Burgers on Santa Monica. Mm. They actually closed pre-pandemic, but absolutely love that place. The Dark Room on Melrose Avenue.
I love the Dark Room. It was such a good place. Yeah. Their happy hour is great.
Yeah, that the one of the bartenders, Tony, I want to give him some props. He actually did the artwork for the Wolfman's Food Hunt. He's done my Hunt for the Abandoned Shoes. He's done a lot of my artwork. So we became really good friends because it's real close to my house, and I would go there during the off times, you know, at 11 or 12 at night, no one's there. You just become friends with the bartenders.
Yeah.
And I'm still really good friends with half of the bartenders there. So that place really hurts because it was my favorite bar on Melrose by far, you know?
Mm-hmm. Question of me, but I also want to offer that Velvet Margarita closing really sucked.
Okay.
You did?
I was just there, and I just told someone, are they closed for good?
I don't know. I hear that they are, but I don't know.
Okay, so I heard rumors that maybe they weren't, but then I heard people say that they were. I'm really curious because I walked by there today because we're going to do that Coanga thing. And man, that definitely is one of them. All my business meetings when I first moved down here was all at the Velvet.
That was actually the first place I ever promoted. It was a night called Toxic Tuesdays, and it was Velvet Margarita. And I love Velvet Margarita. First off, they have amazing drinks, but I also just love their food. Their food was so good.
Mm-hmm. I like their environment too, because some places get too dark and some places are too bright. And the Velvet had this dark vibe, but it was so still personal per table. So everything else was dark, but you could actually see the people around you really clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I always love that for business meetings.
So let's talk food. I can't believe how fast this hour went, because I could tell, and we're going to have you back. We're definitely going to have you back. Hopefully we'll have a studio next time, but we might do it. We'll see what happens. But
if we have the studio, we should all review burgers.
Yeah, we're all going to review burgers, but we'll see what happens anyway. And we'll have to get somebody else. But in your opinion, Wolfman, let's start with burgers, because you are a burger man. The best burger in LA is?
My favorite was the Bowery, but they're closed. So now I'll go with Cassell's in Koreatown.
Cassell's in Koreatown. Yeah. I'm not familiar with Cassell's.
Oh, you got to go. And they have a full bar. It's like an old school diner.
I want to try it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Every birthday dinner, anyone took me out to a birthday dinner, that's where I went. So that's definitely my favorite place.
What's so great about the burger?
So they do the mixed beef, where they do short rib, prime rib. They'll put a little and they do their own specific grind every day. The breakfast burger is actually hash browns that they fry. The buns are hash browns with a sunny fried egg. So good, man. Yeah, and the beauty is you can get a quarter pound, you can get a half pound. I think they even do smash burgers. You can literally get whatever burger you want there. Nobody does that, you know, and you can get liquor, alcohol. They have amazing shakes, and it's got the old school diner. Oh, and I've been getting into sweets. They got that old New York carousel with the pies going through.
Ah, yes.
That 12. Oh my God, dude. You talk about getting fat.
Well, how do you, if you get hash browns and they're hot, how do you eat the burger? It's
you know how you do funnel cake? You've seen funnel cake, right?
Yeah, of course.
That's how they do the hash brown. They put the hash brown, and then they go, and then while they're cooking the burger, they kind of get it where they degrease it, and they let it sit, and it gets nice, hard, and crispy. Then they put the burger on.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty unique, man. I have a picture of it on the Instagram account, but it's by far my favorite burger, you know, and they have other good stuff too there, but the burgers are amazing.
Sounds like it. And of course, it's not gonna match New York, but what's the best LA pizza in your opinion?
So I got to do this to you. You got to give me a specific style of pizza, because it's hard, because I literally want to give you 10 different places right now. So tell me, what kind of pizza are we looking for? We're looking for wood fire gourmet? Are you looking for like New York, East Coast, or just,
let's go with the best New York style pizza in LA. How about that?
All right. So the best in New York was a place called Vito's. I think they closed down and they didn't make it. I don't know if they're going to come back, but they had the best white pie. So I am a huge white pie guy.
Right.
So if you're familiar with white pie, it's hard to get a good white pie out here in LA. Mm-hmm. So Vito had a really good one. And I also like Prime Pizza. They have a good, but if you were going to give me my favorite place, I'm going to go with Delicious Pizza. And they have a couple of them, but the one on Sunset, and that's my favorite. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just because the pizza is my favorite. The menu is my favorite. They have
ricotta times. Yeah. So it's really good, huh?
Have you had their ricotta pancakes yet?
I've never been in there. I've always driven by, and I remember, you know, I'm old enough. Yeah. I remember Delicious Vinyl, so I get the joke.
It takes two to make a pizza, right? You know,
it's like Tone Loc's label, Let's Do the Loud thing.
Yeah. Busta Rhyme, like all those guys. Not Busta Rhyme, the other guy, the guy that did.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Here's the beauty, though, bro. They have vinyl there, right? So during happy hour, you can get a slice of pizza for, I think it was like $2.50 or $3. And then you can get a vinyl for $1. And they had all these ones you could choose. So for like $10, I ended up getting like four vinyls and like two slices of pizza. And then like I would just go there during their happy hour. And I was like, so anytime anyone went to Amoeba, because it was right across from the old Amoeba, I'd be like, dude, you gotta continue your record shopping at Delicious Vinyl and get some pizza. I'm like, cause it's amazing. And then they have a breakfast pizza, which I'm really into breakfast pizza. So they have one of the best breakfast pizzas too. So
I'm trying to think if I've ever had breakfast pizza, cause I know I've seen it a couple places. It just seems a little too runny for me. I don't know about that, but.
That's a whole show in itself because there's so many different ways, but I never understood it until I got, I'm telling you, California changed me because
breakfast. I like pizza, but
It's good though. It's done right. It's good, but I've had it
is
where
it
it's
scrambled done eggs bad. Or is it a hard boiled egg or fried eggs?
So Delicious does poached eggs.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So when you get the pizza, you poach it and it just runs all over the pizza. It's so good if you have like meatball and ricotta. It's so good. But some people don't like it. But talk about wearing it, bro.
Nicole was confused.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not confused. I was just going to get a drink of my soda.
You get hungry?
I'm a little hungry.
All right. So since everybody's talking chicken sandwiches, what's the best chicken sandwich in LA? And don't tell me Popeyes because that's bullshit. Because the chicken cordon bleu at Doomies blows Popeyes away. But
yeah. All right, the best chicken sandwich. So there was a place called Pickles, and they were at Herbarium, which is a weed shop on La Brea by the Target. They're not there anymore, but that was the best. And they were just in a corner, and I could literally go buy weed and their chicken sandwich. It was the best.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
And they had different
pickles. How'd they go out of business? That is brilliant.
You know what my take on this was, bro? Is Herbarium saw that they were doing well and kicked them out and tried to do their own thing, and it didn't work out. And if that's wrong, Herbarium, I'm sorry, but that's what it looked like. You know what I mean? And then I don't think the pickle ever recovered, and they never went anywhere else because I emailed them, and I was like, hey, man, are you guys going anywhere? But other than that, I got to go with Gus. Have you ever been to Gus's Fried Chicken?
No. I think it's that
Wilshire, and that place is amazing. And then you got Dave's Hot Chicken, too, which they're taking over. And I do like Dave's Hot Chicken, but I'm going to tell you, I would pick Gus over Dave's if I had the choice.
Now, where is Gus's? Where is
that? It's on Wilshire.
Okay.
Yeah, on probably like Wilshire and La Brea area. I'm not sure. I actually found it walking. I just was doing my 10-mile walk.
Right.
And saw a line out the door. And I don't know what this is, but people like it. And I look and it said Gus's Fried Chicken. And I went in and I sat at the little bar area they had. This is like pre-pandemic. And I watched their whole operation and the way they were cooking and they were doing that. Like the kitchen looked clean. It looked fresh. It was like, it was bad. And when I got the food, I was like, holy cow, this is like some of the best fried chicken I've ever had. So yeah, I recommend Gus's.
Now, has there been a, cause you're very positive on your reviews and I only scanned like five of them, but I didn't see a bad review in a bunch. Is there any place that was just hyped up to you that didn't live up to the hype and you were disappointed?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a couple. There's one, someone asked me this the other day, and I didn't mention one place, but, I can't remember this one place. It was a pizza place. It was called like Regular or Best Pizza. It was a weird name. And they were advertising New York style. And I got it like, this is like 3 years, 4 years ago. And I got it through an Uber app. And I got it. And it was like, I don't know. It looked like it was like 10% cheese. I put a picture of it. I have to find it. But man, it was like, it was cut in like 24s. Like, I don't know who cut this and how high the guy got, but man, like it was cut where it was like each slice was like this little sliver, dude. I was like, is someone fucking with me? Like, I don't get it. And then like, there was no cheese, no nothing. And I took a picture and I posted it. I ended up getting like 300 or 400 comments. And one person was like, I don't know if they were fucking with me, but they were like, nah, that's a true Italian pizza. And I was like, what? I was always curious if that was true or not. But and then there was another place I got a burger. And I don't know if I want to name these places because they have two restaurants out here and they're local. But I got their burger, man. And I just didn't like it. And then when I asked, like, the waitress, she got a little, like, didn't really know what to do. And then I was like, hey, can you ask the cook, like, what's in this beef? You know what I mean? Because you either got bad beef in here or you got lamb or something in here. Like, you have something that should either be advertised or 86th. You know what I mean, dude?
It wasn't even cow. It was just...
It wasn't. I just got done with my Seattle tour. So I just had all these crazy burgers. I had lamb. I had all these crazy burgers. And I'm like, I literally recognize this taste from one of the Seattle things and I can't put my finger on it. So nicely, I was like, hey, like, what is in it? And they're like, they don't know. They literally were like, they don't know the blend. And I was like, so it's either a recipe or I'm eating dog and cat, dude. Like, right here, dude. Like, what do you mean it's a blend? like, what do you mean you don't know the blend? Like, come on, you gotta know something. You know, so like I never went back to that place and ate, but I drank there a couple of times because it's a popular, trendy place. So I don't want to name
there
it.
There you go.
But yeah, I've had my bad. I don't like bad mouthing local business.
Sure, I understand.
Because I'm like Anthony Bourdain. It's like, you know, you go to McDonald's 1,000 times and get like, you know, 500 bad meals, but you don't bitch about it, you know, but one bad meal at a local's place. And what am I going to do? Bury their business? You know, that.
Yeah, I didn't want to, you didn't have to name names. I didn't mean there was any bad experiences because you just kind of like, I love everything.
Yeah, I usually do. Well, the thing is, if I don't like one thing, I always try something else on the menu too. So before I badmouth them, I'm like, well, let me eat something else. Then if the second thing sucks, I eat one more, then I'll badmouth you. Cause I'm like, nah, dude, I paid for three things and they all sucked.
Right. Has that ever happened?
You're like, come on, you gotta up your game here.
Has that ever happened?
Yeah. But here's the thing. I send them an email.
Yeah.
And then if they're a dick, I'll go, all right, I'll go on air with it. But like, I don't know, man. It's just not my thing just to get popular to be mean, you know? Like, I don't know.
It's hard enough to open up a restaurant and keep it going.
And plus, someone could be having a bad day, too. I want to ruin someone just because they had one bad day, you know?
Yeah. No, I think you're doing the right thing.
No, I appreciate it, dude. But I do get that a lot where they're like, you're too nice to these fuckers. And I'm like, maybe a little bit too nice, but.
But you still got the edge. Now, yeah. Before we go, one more thing, and I can't believe how quick this hour has gone. I can because you're quite a personality, but I saw one where you were at a food truck. Now, the food truck thing was like, and my dad used to work in a food truck. I got cousins who worked in a food truck. I grew up with food trucks all my life. I didn't think they were anything special. Then like 10 years ago, everybody was just like going, crazy over it. Oh my God, there's food in the truck, and it was like a whole trendy thing. What happened there? I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think people just figured a way to skip doing rent. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, oh, I don't have to pay $2,000 rent, and I can actually go in front of this business paying $2,000 rent, pay the parking meter, and just buy a truck. So I think a lot of it was like rent costs.
Right.
Especially in LA, because LA, man, you're paying, like, people bitch about the food prices in West Hollywood, but think about it. They're paying like $6,000 a month rent compared to what normal people pay, $1,500.
Right. But all these hipsters you know, when they're not eating avocado toast, they're like, ooh, it's a truck. I never got the big fascination. I mean, you know, the food's good, but if it's
not, I don't like food trucks. They're expensive, and like the quality isn't as good as the price.
Sometimes it is.
I don't like the fact that they actually price things based on the neighborhood. I know I have a buddy that has a truck, and if he goes into a certain neighborhood, the burgers are $4 or $5. He comes in my neighborhood, the burgers are like $10, $12. And I give him shit every time. And I'm like, bro, I ain't a 12 burger. Like, yes, I understand the suit and ties here can afford that, but not everyone can. And I always feel like the one thing I do want to change is I want people to do more local discounts. And they do, like Melrose Avenue, man, you'll get, like, they'll hook you up if they know you, you know, and they'll be like, oh, dude, you know, check this out. But man, they don't hook up the locals, and locals don't have that money. You know what I mean? Like locals, a lot of the locals don't have that $30, $40 for a meal every day. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, we're on a budget just to live out here, especially since the pandemic. It's hard to live out here, bro. You know?
You did when you were at a food truck, and you're like, and it looked great. You're like, oh, it's a shrimp burger and salmon bites and fries.
Oh, that was that was yesterday. That's my favorite place of all time. That was the Billionaire Burger Boys.
The Billionaire Burger Boys. And Nicole is like, and great price, $25. I'm like, okay, sure.
So I'm gonna defend myself on this one, because salmon bites, those things for $10, these things were huge.
They were huge. They look great. But trust me, I was.
And the burger for 15 with fries, both of them came with fries. I don't know that I was actually surprised. I thought it was gonna be like $35, $40.
You're getting a lot of meat for your dollar. I still wouldn't pay it.
It looked good.
My son says that to me. He's like, when you first moved out here, you were like $6. That's a ripoff. Now I'm like $12. That's pretty good. I've been brainwashed.
LA has mellowed the wolf man.
Well, I should cut in, but I actually need to get going soon.
I was just about to wrap up the show, Nicole.
All right.
So, Wolfman, tell us everything you got going on, how people can find you on social media and YouTube.
So hit me up at wolfmanpresents.com. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, Wolfman Presents. And if you just type in Wolfman Presents, it'll all pop up. And my big thing right now is Wolfman's Food Hunt. That's the show. We're working on a book, doing the YouTube. But I also have a fetish for abandoned shoes. So I take a lot of pictures of shoes. And I also love street art. And we're actually going to combine food and all those things in the show we're working on. So check it out. And thank you for having me. I enjoyed this
problem.
A lot.
I guess normally we ask our guests what their fetish is, but I think I figured that out. Nicole, tell everybody where you're.
I just want to say Wolfman, you should definitely follow at Wolfman Presents on Instagram. He's fantastic. You'll love the content. I'm at Nicole Six Books on Instagram, and please come find me. I'm working on a script right now. We're at a couple of scripts, one with Mark actually. Mm-hmm. And I'm just getting ready to put out my next book, 13, either at the end of this year or the beginning of next year. Mm-hmm. So please come follow me. And if you have any questions about how you can grow your social media with organic growth instead of just buying a bunch of followers who don't do anything, just hit me up, slide in my DMs, and I'll talk to you about it.
And I'm Goth Comedian on all social media. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.